Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to see all of you here in the sanctuary and to welcome those of you who are joining us over live stream. We're glad to be in worship together as the Spirit of Christ connects us. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you are in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again and sign in that way. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. You should be able to see it and sign in that way. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and how we're trying to live out God's love in the world, please share an email address or a phone number or mailing address even with us, and we will love to reach out to you and begin that conversation. If you've been visiting with us for a while and are thinking about perhaps joining officially as a member of the congregation, there's good news. A new membership class is starting next Sunday during the Sunday school hour, 9:45 in McWhorter Hall, right below the sanctuary. It will run for 4 weeks, and it's a great way to get to know other new folks and to learn more about our congregation, about the United Methodist tradition, and so forth. So we'd love for you to join us for that. If you are a college student or a graduate student, you are invited to chat and chew after worship, a free lunch just for you. And I believe Tatum, who's one of our choir members, who's waving back there, will be your host this week. And you all will meet there in the back in the narthex. And I'll be there and hanging out until she gets out of her choir robe for you. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. As we gather in this moment, there are about 75 of our church family who are in worship on the mountainside at Beersheba Springs. Our all-church retreat was this weekend. I was there until last night, and it was just a wonderful time of fellowship and spiritual growth, and I think we're going to do it again next year, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. Because so many of our staff members are still on the retreat, we invited a couple of our church members who are members of our church family to be our liturgists today. Reverend Chris Donald is actually the chaplain over at Vanderbilt University, but he and his family worship here with us on Sundays. And then Reverend Dr. Jen Quigley, who taught Sunday school in July, is a professor of New Testament at the Divinity School across the street. And she and her husband Soren also worship with us on Sundays. So we're glad to have them this morning as our liturgists. A couple of other announcements. Next Sunday, we will have another large gathering to talk about the Bible. If you're reading through the Bible this year with the congregation, you're in the Gospels right now. If you're not reading through the Bible, but you want to come anyway and talk about the Gospels together, it's going to be a wonderful time. It'll be 5 to 7 next Sunday night. It's a potluck, so bring a dish with you. We'll provide the meat and the drinks, and it will be a lot of fun. And I just want you to mark on your calendar Sunday, October 15th. That is the actual 150th anniversary of the start of our church. The actual date, October 15th. We will have one worship service at 10 o'clock, Sunday school at 9. And then from 2 to 4 on the grounds, we'll have a bouncy house, birthday cake, all sorts of fun things throughout the building to celebrate. And then at 4 o'clock, a hymn festival here in the sanctuary conducted by Dr. Anton Armstrong. So something for everybody. So I want you to go ahead and mark your calendars and plan to be here if you are able. This morning, we are in John's Gospel, and he is talking about, I am the true vine, inviting us to abide in him. So as we abide in the light and love of Christ, let us open our hearts and minds to this time of worship together.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your bulletin. Jesus, our Lord, calls us from near and far to come and find rest in Him. He invites us to live by His rhythm of grace and grow into His way of love. Come, let us come and abide in Christ and experience abundant life in worshiping Him. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of love, we confess that we have not lived by the rhythm of your gentleness and grace. We have not built our lives in your love, choosing instead to force our way in the world for the sake of the supposed good life. In your mercy, shine light into the darkness of our hearts. Give us right faith, firm hope, and perfect charity. Gift us with profound humility, wisdom, and understanding, that we might do what is truly your holy will. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
grown-ups to be seated, and any children who want to come up and join me up here for a moment, come on down. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screen so you can see this plant that I want to show you. Good morning, good morning. Come on down. You get to come twice today. I'm going to see if you can guess. What is this, do you think?
It's a tomato.
It's a little cherry tomato. So it's you can slice it in half and put it in a salad, or you can just pick it off and pop it in your mouth like a piece of candy if you like tomatoes. So this came from our yard. And a friend of ours gave us the tomato plant, and it's been growing and growing. And you know, the passage that Mr. Brandon just read, Jesus was talking about a plant, a vine. And he was talking about how a vine can tell us some things about our relationship with God. So Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And this is Jesus' love. And it can flow through us. And he said, can bear fruit. Did you know tomato is actually a fruit? It can bear fruit. And something that can help feed and help the world to know God's love. So he also said there are times when the branches may get loose and break off. And this one broke off. And it's kind of withering and it's not going to grow any more tomatoes. But for these branches that stay connected to the vine, they're going to grow more and more tomatoes. So can you see these flowers up here? These little yellow flowers? In a little while, they'll become a tomato. And that's bearing fruit. So when I hear that, I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is that we need to stay close to Jesus. To remember how much God loves us. To pray. To come to church, to think about God and think about Jesus and do what we can to let the love of God flow through us to others. I sort of think that's what Jesus was talking about. And so we can look at things like tomatoes and learn about God. Who knew? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for Jesus and all of the things that he did and the things that he taught us. Thank you that he talked about growing things and the vine that can help us learn about you. Help us stay close to you, to pray, to love you, to know that we're always loved, and to share your love with everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening, and Wesley, thank you for listening twice. And if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Molly and Miss Jennifer. Okay, if you got a close look at that tomato plant, it's kind of pitiful. The truth is, and I've confessed this before, that David and I are not gardeners. I do not know my way around a sunflower or a zinnia. I cannot grow lettuce or garlic to save my life. It's just, I don't know why, it's just not a gift I have. But there is one place where we can grow things, and that's in our herb garden for some reason. One reason is we have this sage plant that just won't die. I mean, we don't do anything to it. It starts to wither and die, and then it comes back, and we just have all these sage leaves that we get to use. But the one thing that we are growing and that's going well this year is basil. We have got so much basil. We're going to be making pesto for weeks. It's wonderful. And I think the reason that it's thriving this year is because we've learned a couple of things. If a basil plant starts to get a flower, what do? You pick it off. Yeah, you're supposed to pick it off. So every time I walk by the herb garden and I see a flower, I just pick it off. They're pretty, but you can't eat them. They're not going to serve you, so just pick the flowers off. And then you smell like basil for the rest of the day. The other thing that David learned was when it comes time to make pesto or use basil in a dish, not to just pull a leaf off, but to clip it at the stem, and then it'll grow back and maybe even double in size. And so we've been doing that, and our basil plants are just robust and beautiful because we've learned how to prune them. Jesus talked about pruning. Jesus talked a lot about growing things and gardening and farming, whereas I don't know much at all. Jesus knew a lot about these things, and the people that Jesus talked to and taught knew a lot about growing things. And so we hear in his teachings and his parables over and over again all these different images of growing things. One of the first parables we hear in the Gospels is a sower went out to sow seed. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The people in his audience would have known what a mustard seed was and what it looked like when it grew. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a fig tree that didn't produce any fruit. Growing things was a common image that Jesus used to talk about the kingdom of God. And in this 15th chapter of John's Gospel, we get the most extensive exploration of a vegetative metaphor. How's that for a mouthful? That Jesus used. One of the greatest examples he used of a growing thing that can teach us something about the kingdom of God and our relationship with God. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the vine grower, and you are the branches. Now, this speech in the 15th chapter of John comes from a larger speech that Jesus is making to his disciples on his last night with them before he gets arrested. You may know that John's gospel is very different from the other three gospels. And one of the things that's different is that he starts just past the halfway point with the Last Supper. The whole second half of the gospel is about Jesus' last hours with his disciples and his crucifixion and resurrection. In chapter 13, he gathers with his disciples for the last time around a table. But John, instead of really focusing on the bread and the cup like the other gospels do, tells the story of Jesus getting up from the table, wrapping a towel around his waist, and going and washing each of his disciples' feet. Kneeling down before them, he who has been their teacher and their Lord, kneeling at their feet and washing their feet, even the feet of Judas. He gets up from that act and says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And then he begins to give what we call his farewell discourse. The next few chapters, if you have a Bible that has Jesus' letters, red letters for the words of Jesus, the whole next few chapters are all in red, and it's all Jesus talking to his disciples. When we get to chapter 15, he has told them in chapter 14 that he's about to leave them. "In a little while, you will no longer see me," he says, that he's going to die. "But don't worry," he says. "I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you and remind you of all that I have taught you and shown you." And so now in chapter 15, he says to them, "Abide in me. Even after my death, after my resurrection, stay with me. Abide in me." And you could probably hear it as Brandon read the text. It's all throughout these chapters in John's gospel, this circulation of love between the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. We hear the Trinity and the dynamic love that is flowing within the community of God as the Trinity, enfleshed in this text. And here Jesus is inviting his followers, inviting his disciples to join in that dance of dynamic love, to abide in the love that God the Creator has for God the Redeemer that is shared through God the Spirit. St. Augustine had beautiful names for the Trinity, the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. And this is what Jesus is inviting his disciples to abide in as he gives them these final instructions. Because he wants them to continue the ministry that he started. "And without abiding in me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing." He says in another part of John's gospel, "If you abide in me, you can do even greater things that I have done." Abide in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And he makes them some promises. in these chapters. If you abide in me, you will know deep peace. In chapter 14, he says, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Not peace that the world would give you, but peace that you can only have if you abide in me and allow me to tell you who you are. Allow me to love you. Allow my love to surround you and abide in you. If you abide in me, you will know joy. He says, "I am telling you these things so that you may know my joy and that my joy in you may be complete." Sometimes we get in our minds that being a follower of Jesus is like following all these rules and saying no to all the fun things in life. But here Jesus is saying, no, following me is a life of joy. Deep joy that doesn't depend on the circumstances of your life and all the ups and downs of things that happen to us. A joy that comes only from knowing your belovedness and knowing that this love will never let you go. You will know peace, you will know joy, and you will know a love that will never let you go. It's all about this abiding in love. But how do we do that? That's the invitation that comes from Jesus in this text, is to abide in his love. But how do we do that in the real day-to-day, ordinary busyness of our schedules and our lives? Well, that's part of what we work on together as a congregation. What are those spiritual habits and practices that help us abide? It makes me want to ask the question, what do I abide in? I think it's easy in our day to abide in a lot of other things. To have 24-hour news channel on all the time, voices talking at you with their opinions. To abide in Facebook chats, abide in TikTok, abide in whatever it is that we surround ourselves. How do we fill the empty spaces in our lives? Is that what we abide in? I had a meeting last week with my spiritual director. I go to see him once a month. I've been having sessions with him for over 10 years. And when I told someone that Ben Curtis was my spiritual director, they said, "Oh, you've got the Obi-Wan Kenobi of spiritual directors in Nashville." He like trains everybody. He's a wonderfully wise former professor at Belmont University. And it was the first time I'd seen him since both of our children had gone off to college. We're in this new season of being empty nesters. And I've been kind of surprised at, excuse me, how empty the house feels. Not in a bad way, but just different. There's space there that wasn't there before. And I do have feelings around that for sure. There's some spaciousness in our schedules now, and I don't know how to process it. And so he invited me. He said, "Why don't you just, when you have a little time, get a cup of coffee, sit down in a chair, and intentionally invite Jesus to join you. And just be present to the emptiness and see what happens." He was inviting me to abide in a new season of unknownness. Not to fill the emptiness with stuff or try to figure it out right away, but to abide in the love of Jesus and trust that God is holding all of us in this new season of life. Some of you have been coming to Will McLean's Wednesday night class, and he's talking a lot about practices and habits we can incorporate into our lives to make space to abide with God, space in our calendars every day, space in our minds and our hearts to abide in God's love, to allow God's love just to hold us. The vine. Imagine it in your mind. Now that we're in the 21st century, we have all this good camera work and nature documentaries, you can probably imagine like a tomato growing. And it's not the tomato that's doing it. It's the life, the water, the energy that's coming from the vine that then bears fruit. And that's us, Jesus says. We can only bear fruit in the world, acts of love and peace and justice in the world, if we are abiding, plugged in to this vine that is our life. So we hear the invitation. And there are just a few other thoughts I want to share with you. This is just, you know, sprinkling a little seasoning on the top. But a few things that this image made me think of. One is that when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, that pronoun is plural. Y'all are the branches. We are the branches. That our power, our energy, our love comes from Jesus, but we're not just one branch dangling out here. One branch? I'm sorry, that one little tomato is kind of pitiful. And it's not going to feed many people. But we are all in this together. We are one beautiful, complicated vine that continues to be pruned and grows. And Gail O'Day said it this way. We as the community of faith, as the church, are like an organic unity shaped by the love of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We are an organic unity shaped by the love of Jesus, and one little branch cannot do it all by ourselves. So there's an invitation to be connected through the vine to one another, that we might bear more fruit for the world together. Now, at annual conference this year, one of our guest preachers was Bishop Gregory Palmer from West Ohio? Yes, West Ohio. Jen knows. That's her bishop. Yes. Oh, good. I'm quoting your bishop. I get points for that. So he was talking about this text, and he said, we are all branches, and branches don't get to prune other branches. It's not our job to prune other branches. Our job is to stay plugged into the vine, to abide in the love of Jesus, in the love of Christ, and bear fruit as we are called to do so. And not to look around at the other branches and say, ooh, isn't that pitiful? Oh, wow, look at all the fruit there. Or to prune each other. God is the vine grower and does the pruning and the caring and the growing. We're just the branches. Finally, as I pondered this passage this week, what really struck me was the wonder that the God of the universe chooses to feed the world through our fruit. We've seen it over and over again in the scriptures that God chooses to work through people. Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham and Sarah, God doing God's work in the world through us. If the world is going to be fed, if the world is going to be nourished, if the world is going to know of God's love and grace for them, for the whole world, it will be through the fruit that we bear. And so we are invited to abide. My friends, let us take with us this image of the vine. May we stay connected to the vine and to one another. And leave the growing of the fruit to the work of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Beloved, please rise as you are able or in spirit as we recite our affirmation of faith together, which is found in your bulletin and also on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, part of our life together in Christ is to support one another in prayer, both in sorrow and in joy. And I'm delighted that this week we have some joy to share. There's a rose on the altar welcoming the birth of Samuel Alexander Perdue, who was born on September 6th to Mallory and Jim Perdue. And he's also welcomed by his big sister, Hunter Perdue. And as we come to our prayer time together, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And if you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here joining us in the sanctuary, there are great cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed. And now, beloved, please join me in a posture of prayer. God of wisdom, we give thanks for the beautiful imagery we find in Scripture that helps us to know you better, even as you remain beyond our imagining. Jesus, you are Word of God, bread of life, good shepherd, and you are the vine and we are your branches. We pray this morning for all who are experiencing periods of change and newness. Bless the green new shoots in our lives, the people and circumstances that are tentative, hopeful, and curious. Give us and them the nourishment and connection to grow. We pray this morning for all who are experiencing pain, loss, and confusion, for those of us who've been long on the vine, who are a little twisted up and gnarled with the weight of the world, and no longer know how to find the sunlight. Help prune us back in the areas of our lives that need change so that we might flourish again in you. Help us to feel your grounding connection when we are feeling lost so that we might always know our connection to your love. We pray for all the branches on your vine this morning, for those branches near and beloved to us, and for those branches so far away and different from us that we didn't even know we were in the same vineyard. When we fall short and do more harm than good, prune us back with mercy so that we can grow fruit that is good and not rotten. Bring peace to our conflicts and healing to our divisions so that we may all abide in you. Lastly, O God, we pray for the world around us, for the beauty of creation which reflects you and for all our neighbors, all of whom bear your divine image. May the fruit of our lives be for the joy, healing, and nourishment of the world. And we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, beloved, let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we will pass around offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
when all the branches are singing of God's grace. May we continue to abide in the unconditional, immeasurable love of God through Christ, that we might bear the fruit of God's amazing grace for this world that has such a hunger to receive it. Go in peace and love and joy. Amen.